Well, hello there. Oh, I've got lots of letters for Santa today. And every year, they're the same. Some ask for toys, but a lot ask questions.
A yo-yo?
If you wish to give me a present?
I'd like to be a dentist.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. This is our chat edition of the show. Myself, my very good friend Ann Sleeman. Today, Ann and I hand curated this episode, and that's why we're the only ones here, maybe. Christmas toys of the 1970s, where Ann and I, we've agreed on this, we're more than likely going to present to you the toys we wish we had, but our parents would not buy us.
Absolutely. It's the wish book review, Kev.
So, speaking of which, by the way, I just want to say I have a Sears wish book calendar. Now I have the Christmas wish book from the 70s season. Then Sears consumerism just went so crazy. They stepped their game up. By 1978, you got the Sears catalog toy edition.
Amazing.
So, Anne, this was such a big part of culture. Sears has been around since the 1800s. Sears catalog, world famous in its 100-year run.
I almost feel bad for kids now because they don't have that moment.
Yes. Yeah, they don't.
Where this, you're looking in the mailbox for the wish book to arrive, and whoever gets it first out of you and your siblings gets first pass through all the amazing things in full color. And that I can even smell it and feel the pages like you're wrapped into that. I'm so jealous that you have that there in your hand.
I'm going to have to send these to you at some point and we'll poke through them. But you're right. You just touched on something. I think once again, and you'll hear me say this a lot, we have so much now. Everything's instant. Toys are much cheaper, much more accessible. The trip, and someday we'll do an episode on toy stores, but it was a big deal to go to a Toys R Us or a Child World, whatever was around for your toy store. And today, those are gone. And when you're going to Target or to, let's say, Walmart, there's all the toys there. So I know a lot of parents who no longer want to even bring their kids to the Target or the Walmart when they're doing shopping because it's we got to get a toy. It's all right there. And I don't know, unless I hear differently, but one of the things I see from friends who have kids, it's the whole buying of a toy is just doesn't seem as sacred. I never even ask. You would never ask. You were told not to ask. Maybe because Ann and I are such Catholics. It was a sin to even ask, you thought. But Christmas and birthdays were the time you might get something. Birthday for me was more practical. It might be like a shirt or something. But
the skins from Sears, if we're sticking with the Sears theme.
Yeah. If you were lucky, more, we would go more to Marshall's and the regular clothes that were put on layaway.
Dreaded trip for food. It felt like every day.
Horrible, right? The worst.
Nothing against Marshall's now. Great store. But when you're a little kid and you're like with your mother, it's, oh my gosh.
I bet you today though, Anne, with the access of social media and what kids are exposed to, I bet you kids don't mind going because they probably enjoy dressing up and wearing certain clothes. Back then you just wore what you were told. I think you were playing not to be embarrassed, right? You weren't playing to win.
That was the goal.
You're playing to not be humiliated.
And I just have something that doesn't make me look completely ridiculous. That's it. There were like two or three fashionistas in my school, I remember. And I know their names, but I won't give shout outs. And my mom, we couldn't afford the clothes there. No. So it was just a huge dash. Let's go to Marshall's and see what we can find.
You're just going to grow out of it anyway.
Exactly. You spill something on it or you lose it.
What I hated the worst was when the tags would be cut off. Do you ever notice that?
Marshall's the irregular.
Yes. And you might just wear the scarlet letter.
Irregular.
Oh my God. Is there a special place for the irregular kids to sit? The kids with the irregular.
On the blue bus with the irregular
kids. Yeah. Hi, everyone.
I don't do that anymore. But you're right. Flashback. That's how Marshall started, with the irregular. You get the Ralph Lauren shirt, but the polo was like missing one of its legs or something like that. It had the cut tag. Everyone.
The Levi, I remember the Levi still puts on the back that has your size and your waist would actually just only be the outline of the patch. Yeah. Unless it's cut out. And my mother, just when she hears me go off on this stuff, she says, oh, you had it so hard, didn't you? But I will say for your family and mine, for the salaries they made, the fact that we were able to get as far as we did, get college. Yeah. So they did all of those things. God love them. But I do think that everything now is so much more accessible. And so the magic I've seen with kids, I thought I would be the uncle who could, the surrogate uncle to all the kids I meet today, where I'm like, oh my God, I can go buy you a ton of fun toys because I'm the uncle. I'm not, it's from a different place where the parents, I would think, are limiting what they buy them just to have them look forward to things. And I will say 100% of the time, it's horrifying because they just don't care. They'll play with the toy for a minute, maybe. I've seen boxes even be unopened of things. And
which was unheard of, right? Back in our day.
Well, like you said, it was magic. You would just have, first of all, you would die if anyone came in your life and said, here's a bunch of toys. That just didn't happen.
Totally. But I hear you on that. I see it with my grandkids. And again, love them. They're great. And they have great lives. And it's like, what are you guys even asking for? You have it all. You've been everywhere. You're not even asking for the trip to Disney because, check that off the box.
Check
that box. They go everywhere. They see everything. They get everything. Not even sporting equipment. Be like, oh, I want a new baseball.
No, right away. Just Amazon click. Yeah,
Amazon click.
That's right. Yeah.
And
I
don't even know if we're so nostalgic for the Wish Book. I don't know if they would be now because I'm going to go and click it and buy it now. There was no waiting. There was no anticipation. There was no.
I think that also means that's why I think there's a little less excitement around even Christmas because it's funny. So I'll say just even comes into my household. My wife, Maria Menounos, very famous, very successful. And because of that, boxes are always arriving at the house free. Just so you know, companies are sending stuff all the time. And I have to say to her, Maria, every day is your birthday and every other day is Christmas. To remind her, because it's so much. But I feel a little bit that way for a lot of the kids that are out there today. It's just not the same. So I'm sure they enjoy the Santa and the lights and the socializing, but I don't think it means as much. And now when I've talked to my friends, even about the specials we cover, they'll say to me, no, they're just not into them. They're not into the specials. They'll watch them with, they'll try to get them into it and they're not. And I don't know if there's the connection there.
We've talked on the show where back in the day, it was on once a year. So it was like a family event. It's, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving or Charlie Brown Christmas is on. So the whole family gathered around because you could only watch it 8 o'clock Tuesday night on CBS or what have you. So it was such a big thing and we had less going on then. And so the whole season, the whole dynamic has changed.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to the accessibility.
Yeah.
So there's just, and it's funny, it doesn't necessarily make for happiness.
I don't think it does at all.
No, it's actually the contrary, which is why people are very angry and they don't love life. They don't love living here. And I swear, when you had less, you were more grateful. You were more, but okay.
Interesting.
We're digressing a little bit, but let's get back to the fun stuff. The Sears catalog, when it comes in.
Wait, are there dog-eared pages from... Yes.
These actually sell on eBay and they're not free. People sell them on eBay. And I remember buying this one a few years back. So this one is not. I will tell you that even the I'm looking at the Wish Book for 1970. What's fun about this is not even just the toys, but the stereo systems that are in here, the phones, the style of the phones. There's a harpsichord in here. Is that crazy? An auto harp, like we used to have in school. And the classic Stingray bicycle.
Ooh.
That was
one of those?
I did. It was probably a knockoff one, but I didn't have what I really wanted, which is here, which is the Apollo, which was the chopper. It had the tiny wire in the front. It had a shifter for three gears.
I remember actually, a kid in my neighborhood had one of those.
Of course. We had the kids that had them as well. I never got one. And they started making them again. I actually put one in one of my films. But they started making them again in a limited edition. Very cool. We had the red, the yellow, I think maybe in white.
My
red,
yellow, the white.
The white one, right? With the cool
bike
seat.
Envy, Kev. Bike envy.
And then Huffy, by the late 70s, Huffy got into the deal, and they looked great, but they were very cheap. So yep. They would break apart, but they looked fantastic. But anyway, so yeah, I'm thumbing through this. Oh my goodness. There's the, I just landed into the world of Fisher Price. Wow. We will be going over all of these Fisher Price is still around. Yes, it is. I don't know if it's a thing. I'm going to find out now that I have a baby. I'll start finding out what fits. Wow. And by the way, I'm looking here, 1970 Lego. Nice. So Lego, as I recall Lego was in its early stages. There were other block companies, knockoff ones. I remember this house never had Legos. We had always the knockoff. Even worse than Hydrox. I would say, and we would be Polar, we would be the Star Market Cola.
I was thinking of RC.
Not even. No, I think lower. Do you know those real Purity Supreme Cola? I'm trying to think of the really cheap ones. Remember
when the no-name brand came out? It had like a white label with the green.
When was that?
Oh, gosh. I worked at the Star Market at the time. So it had to be in the early 80s sometime. I'll do a dive on that and get back to you on it.
The no-name brand. By the way, today would work because people love the clean label.
They were almost progressive in their labeling.
And they're all just too far ahead. Oh, my goodness. Even the snow toys. I'm looking at the sleds with the metal skis underneath it.
The best.
Just, yeah, probably not safe. Who cares?
No. So I grew up on a huge hill, Kev, and my parents are the second house from the top. So we used to string together like 16 kids. Like you'd put your feet in the person behind you sled, like the little, and we would do trains through my parents' front yard, side yard, over a jump, through my neighbor's backyard, through the woods and down to the other street. We have 16 kids. My brother and I and a couple kids would take a few hours after the first snow and build icy cresta runs and all that stuff. So it was epic sledding. But nowadays,
kids do sled today, right?
Yeah, but not on those. Those were the fastest.
Just too dangerous.
Yeah, the wooden sled with the metal ice blades on the bottom.
I'm sorry. I'm really getting carried away with this wish book. The 1970 wish book it's taking me back. But for me, this was a way our parents would occupy us. They would, if they just wanted us, I think, to shut up, they would say, okay, here's pens and papers, write your list for Santa. And they would give you the wish book and you would go through the wish book and you would write down all of the toys you'd want, get none of them, as I recall.
We've gotten the silly putty. We got the token slinky.
The stocking stuffer. I had two things going on. My mom was very pragmatic with money, but then also she just bought whatever she thought. It was never what the kids would like. It was always what she thought. If she thought something was junk, nope. If she just didn't think it would be fun, nope. So
not a prayer.
Yeah. So it was always the friends who have these things. And before we start getting to our list, let's do this. Let's hear from, if we have any reviews this week, I would love to hear them. Please send us, if you're listening and you appreciate the show, we put a lot of work, we do a lot of research to make this happen. Our two-part goal on this show is to preserve the specials and the classics and the movies as best we can, but then also to extend the spirit of the holiday season, spirit of generosity, kindness, giving, all those things, joy. So if you feel as though we are serving that mission and you appreciate our show, please leave us a 5-star review and a comment over on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us a lot. And what reviews can you read for this week?
Thanks for that, Kev. Couple shout outs that I want to share is it's great to know that I'm not the only holiday fanatic. I am so happy to have found this podcast. Such a great mix of nostalgia and current day. Plus, the different perspectives from the hosts are so fun and funny. My new favorite. Another one I wanted to share. Thank you to Kev and the group from This Gen X Girl. It makes my childhood and all the great times come back. Hope it keeps going through the year. Kev, we did have a bunch. One other I wanted to point out. Old Man Yells at Cloud. Most of the folks.
I'm already laughing.
Old Man Yells at Cloud. While most of the folks on the show are a delight, it feels like every episode gets derailed at least 5 times when the main host feels the need to go off on an angry rant about how much he hates liberals, political correctness, and younger generations. If we could get rid of him and his unneeded tangents and just listen to everyone else who wants to talk on these specials, this could be a lot of fun.
Let me say this a couple of times. It may surprise you, a person who said that, and that I and my family and all the family members I've ever known have been lifelong Democrats, number one. Number two, I know anyone who likes political correctness. If you do, then I'm, you know, to each their own. And three, yeah, no, it's way more than five times I go on rants. I've already done five. We didn't even start this show. But the reason, it's funny, the reason we started the show was because of that sentiment. Right. When I watched, I had my, I used to do a show called The Tomorrow Show. And when I had the millennials and the early Gen Zs watch some of these specials, I was so excited for them. And when I tell you, they not only didn't care for the specials, they vehemently disliked them. Rudolph, they saw as all they could see was Rudolph being bullied. And it to them, it was such a turnoff. And we all saw the mean Santa growing up, and we knew he was the mean Santa, and we would just laugh about it. But the level they took it to, the six or seven of them, I couldn't believe it. It was, why would, yeah, here's the message, get crapped on by everybody, keep fighting for their acceptance, and then when they need you, go come through for them. And it just, and I remember just seeing that and saying, no, I think you're all seeing this the wrong way. I think these specials, to me, when I think of what Disney was able to create, I think Rankin and Bass for Christmas has been able to do the same. And why isn't the message instead that Rudolph was gone and that Santa was a jerk, but instead of meeting them back with more hatred and violence, which is what we see today, and I see from a lot of young people, why not rise above like he did and for the greater good of everyone?
Right.
And why can't we see that as the lesson?
Wow. Kev, I never even knew that story.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do this show, because I feel like these are either ignored or misinterpreted, and they shouldn't be. Yeah. You know, and I think the sentiment of Christmas, which is forgiving, understanding, all of those things. So I think for everyone, whatever your religion is, I think it's a wonderful holiday. And then lastly, I'm a comedy writer, so we're having fun. And Evan is, I love Evan, who in, and I like Kelsey and Elaine and Pooja and all the young people, we love this multi-generational approach that we normally have. And they know that's just part of my thing with them. And by the way, they give it right back to me. But it's all in fun and in jest, that part. But hopefully, if that person's no longer listening, that's fine. But for anyone else who feels that same way, maybe you'll realize you've been too hard on the misfits. Right. Perhaps the misfits have a place too. Just a quote from the great Burl Ives in Rudolph. Anyway, right. Irregardless.
I love that story of why you started this podcast, Kevin. Thanks for sharing that. And when I saw that review, I was taken back. So I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so not Kev at all. And some of us who are from Boston are often misunderstood when we're a little sarcastic. And
oh my goodness, the Bill Burr movie right now on Netflix.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God.
I'll have to check it out.
Oh, yeah. It really speaks to that sentiment. And so it's funny, when I think of younger people reviewing it, they have given the movie poor reviews.
Of course.
But it's pretty poignant and funny. It's a lot of fun. Okay, Anne.
Love it.
Are blocks still a thing? Because I'm looking at this and I'm in the block category. And yes, we do have the earliest sign of Legos. We have... But we Legos also have, oh, thank you, Anne, for Legos being huge. There's only 20 parks they're building. I mean, Legos is, that's you. I said, this is just when it started. But no, yeah. I'm asking about the other blocks, as in the alphabet blocks. That's still a thing. The alphabet blocks when you were a little kid, remember those?
No, I've seen those back then. I haven't seen those as of
late. Right?
I don't and then, kids having those.
And then Lincoln Logs, similar to blocks.
Loved those.
You could build log cabins.
Yeah, they were awesome. But they had the weird plastic chimney back in the 70s and the green slat roofs. I think those are still around, but bigger and not a choking hazard like the Lincoln Logs were back in our day.
And also probably has it. Who knows? It's probably like a world of Lincoln Logs and cult where people build them and an HGTV show.
Where they're like, you know what? Who wants to live in a log cabin now? So now it'd be like tiny house parts to build because that's
yeah.
And I've seen blocks that look like bricks, but it's like a bunch of bricks on one block and it's like cardboard. So when they topple over, you probably had the wooden blocks, right? When you talked over, you could get clocked in the head. Now they're like soft cardboard. So if you bop into a brick wall or a block wall, nobody gets hurt.
Got it.
So much kinder blocks.
I'm looking at this and I see the romper stomper.
Yes, Kev. One of my all-time faves.
You could walk on these, I don't know, 6-inch, almost like yellow buckets.
I think they were either 6 or 8 inches. And you remember the show.
Of course. And by the way, I'm looking at now, they have their own section here in the Sears catalog. But also remember the inflatable punching bags.
Oh, and those, also the clown.
Yes, those who had one. I also remember Mr. Magnet Man, now that I'm looking at it. You would if you saw it. So if you take a look at this hand, you see this?
Oh, yeah.
It was like basically like a coffee cup can that was metal. And inside would be a bunch of magnets you could put on a nose and some eyes.
Cool. I never had one of those.
I don't think I did either. Oh, and then, of course, the ever popular Mattel's Talking CNC.
Oh,
remember those? You pull the cod, they would say
cod in, and then you would learn how to spell and
or the cow says moo.
Oh yeah, those were great. Actually, I loved them.
And I remember the Snoopy snow cone machine. Did you say you had had one of those in?
I did, only because my nana knew. My nana loved Peanuts, and I also was a huge Snoopy fan, as everybody, all the fans of the Christmas Specials We Love podcast know. Ted Snoopy and I, she hooked me up with Snoopy things. So I did have the Snoopy cone, snow cone machine, which I loved and used to sell snow cones in my front yard.
The little
side business.
I love it.
Thank you.
I remember there was the Snoopy toothbrush. There was also the Batman Robin clock. I remember was a big deal. They had a talking clock. I remember.
You had that. Ooh, you might not have.
No, I did not. No,
I didn't mean to bring you back there, Kelly.
I do remember the talking clock.
Yep.
That I had. You would set the hands of the clock, and it would tell you what time it is, so you could learn. Yeah, that was something I had. I was a Dapper Dan man.
Jesse Bessie.
You had a Jesse Bessie.
Absolutely, Kev.
Right. We did a little dive on Dapper Dan. They did bring them back. And they rebranded the look, which I'm not fond of.
No. And now they're called like Play School, Dressy Kids, Girl and Boy.
Got it.
As opposed to Dressy Bessie and Dapper Dan.
It was great. You could learn how to button up their clothes and tie their shoes. And it was fun. And by the way, all this stuff, if you really just want to be insane and relive your childhood, you can find so much of this stuff on eBay. There's the talking.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I think that the wish book is actually a cool gift for somebody, like somebody our age that has it all. I'm going to send them a wish book off
eBay. I think a coffee table book. Yeah. Because you just would poke through this for hours. It actually was making me sad because I want to go back. I don't want to relive my childhood, but I would love all of this. Yeah. There's the talking clock, which I love. Of course. Now remember Ann, do you remember show and tell? Not show and tell in school, but show and tell. It was a record player. You put the 45 record on top, and then inside the front of it was almost a TV set, so to speak, but it wasn't really a TV. And it would play a film strip of whatever was being on the record. This happens at Winnie the Pooh. Do you remember this?
I never had one of those.
No, neither did I. But as we continue.
So I think that memory is somewhere in my
head. But do you remember the show and tell?
I don't have a huge memory of the show and tell.
Oh, yeah. I remember it. Maybe because I wanted, probably young, I wanted to be involved in AV, audiovisual. Remember The Master?
Oh, I love
GAF.
I love Viewmaster.
Your Viewmaster.
All day.
Look at that. And see, just manifesting. There's Dapper Dan and Dressy Bessie.
There they are.
I see.
Now, I wanted to ask on your
Dapper Dan. And $6.99.
How much?
$6.99.
So that would be like 58, 60 bucks today, right? That's crazy.
Yeah, which they wouldn't charge that for a doll. You'd probably get this for under 20.
Unless it's like one of those American Girl dolls, and then they're like 100 and something, which you'll become well aware of once Athena's a little older. But I remember Dressy Bessie had a little cat on her inside pocket. Did Dapper Dan have a dog?
No, he did not. He did not. Very interesting erector sets.
Oh, I remember my brother had one of those, but
they were great. Really good way to learn how to build things and put things together. Just early phases, but the erector set. That's the other thing too, the world of hobby.
Yes.
So you had science kits, you had Radio Shack had all those electronics kits. And did you have a science kit?
Oh my God, my microscope with the pre-made slides, one of my all-time faves. I had it up until just a few years ago. The Rock Tumbler.
Yes, the Rock Tumbler.
Rock Tumbler, which my grandson actually has like the new version of the Rock Tumbler.
It must be amazing.
It's amazing. You can take any rock from your yard. We usually collect them at the beach and they become beautiful stones.
Yeah, isn't it fun?
Oh, so fun.
Yeah. And
spin art for those of us who aren't.
Spin art.
Spin art was the best, dude.
Spin art was amazing.
Spin art was so fun. Especially for people who aren't super artistic, you could still make the beautiful on the coat tag card.
And then there would also be, the potter's wheel. I remember that. You could get a little small one and do your clay. Transitioning over to Play-Doh, big item.
Loved it. Fuzzy Pumper Barbershop.
Popping the Play-Doh through.
Yep. And just the standard colors. Now it's all lime green and yellow and purples. We had to work with the basics.
Yeah, the basics.
Mixed. That was it.
Okay. The other thing that I noticed with my niece, my nephew, I was excited to start getting him into slot cars. And he just was like, wait, what? No, not interested. Yeah, but I don't think it's a thing anymore. But back then, electronic slot cars were huge, right? Again, Santa just forgot to drop that one off at the end of our house. But I'll tell you, we did have the Tyco train.
Yeah,
that's fun. And your parents, usually you could maybe get a 4x8 sheet of plywood. And if you went to a hobby town, you could get the grass that you could lay down, the fake roll of grass. And then you
and the little trees and people.
All of it. And you'd staple down the track. Yep. And you could, and we would, as time went on, we'd get for Christmas maybe another little house to put on the world. But it was great. You'd run the train along.
That was such a sweet toy. And it was a family thing. And it is tied to Christmas. I love when people have, even now, if they have a train around their tree. I think that's so cool.
So, did you have the train around the tree?
I like that idea. And then we had dogs. And now we know about my mother-in-law. So I'm not trying to add too much to make her crazy, but once she's not part of our Christmas celebration anymore, then I'm planning on doing the train around.
Thank you for that, because I think I'm going to bring in the train. By the way, so maybe later in the show, we'll go over where we're at with our decorating here mid-November, where I keep saying, God, the holiday's almost over.
I know. Thanksgiving so early this year.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It's almost as early as it can be.
No, my game is off. It's really thrown off.
I'm already half decorated.
We're full on here.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, we're all in. Yeah, I went really crazy this year. Okay, penny for a gumball, Mickey. Thanks for the gumball. Remember Mickey Mouse and the Popeye gumball machines?
Love it. Yep.
I have a big item I didn't have.
What was the one? Mickey, want to come over for a party? The talking phone?
Oh, it's phone.
Mickey Mouse?
Probably.
Come over for a party.
The roll of coin bank. So you could put the coin, it would roll down into a slot.
Oh, I never had
the clear bank. No, I didn't either. Okay. I know this was a big one for you. The Hoppity Hop.
Loved Hoppity Hop.
Hoppity Hop.
Hoppity Hop is still around in adult forms. And I think it was originally made for adults and kids in mind. And if you think about it, kids should be on Hoppity Hops more because they're not outside as much as we were. It gets a lot of the energy out. So I had the G in the blue and got a little jealous when the horse one came out a few years ago.
Hoppity Hoss. Hoppity Hoss. There's Hoppity Hoss and Hoppity Hop Jr.
Yeah, I forgot about the Jr.
Yeah, so anyone wouldn't remember this, it was basically a big giant ball, almost like one of those balls you have at the gym, but with a ring on the top. You'd hang onto the ring, you'd sit yourself on the ball, and you would just bounce. Brings me over to pogo sticks. Remember those?
Oh my gosh. Could never master the pogo.
Couldn't either.
My little niece, Amanda, she got one. She stopped hopping or ponging, whatever it is, at 500. She was just like, okay, what else am I supposed to do with this? I'm like, I can't believe you can even do this thing. She was like 6. So annoying. Never got it. I got like 3 hops and I thought,
no, I didn't either. Okay. Remember, this might be more of a guy thing, but today every kid has the battery car. It's no big deal, but it was a big deal if you got a little fire engine that you could pedal or you could use your feet to push.
Yeah.
And this, of course, the era of the big wheel.
Loved Big Wheel.
Big Wheel. Everyone had a Big Wheel. That was such a... I don't see a lot of Big Wheels anymore.
I haven't either. So again, we lived on a giant hill. So we used to go up to my neighbors who had a driveway that led to this steep hill. And we'd run down, jump on our Big Wheel, and then fly down the entire hill. I have no idea how fast we went, but our neighborhood might be one of the reasons why you don't see them anymore. Ridiculous. But then remember the big green machine that came out after?
There were the Big Wheel. There was the green machine. There was the cheetah. There were all these other ones and I got none of them. I always wanted them.
Covered in
Wacky Packs. So Wacky Packages was bubble gum that was similar to baseball cards, but instead they were spoofs of brands.
Yeah, like Logs, pantyhose that were supposed to be
legs. Yeah. And we just, again, because we were so simple, we just thought that was so funny.
Hysterical.
And we just, those stickers went everywhere.
Everywhere. On my Big Wheel. Yeah, everywhere. I wish I still had some now.
And are you up for a game of toss across?
Oh my God. No. As long as we can play Gnip Gnop after.
Yeah. By the way, both games I think could still hold up. Why wouldn't you want to throw a bean? The beanbag that hits the tic tac toe is the early form of cornhole.
I was just going to say it was the OG cornhole with a little less
OG
pressure.
What?
Cornhole. Cornhole.
Sorry. I am seeing some amazing toy pinball machines. Okay. Now this was. I think the 60s probably was the beginning of the hockey games. You still see them in an arcade. They actually still make them. You'll see them in a big dome where you'll have these knobs, almost like foosball, except for hockey. Imagine that.
I remember my brother got that. So all the Christmas presents had already been opened, Kev. And then my dad came downstairs and told my brother, he's like, hey, I think Santa left one of the gifts behind the curtain in your room. So we went upstairs, like the whole group of us snuck up into my brother's room. And there behind the curtain was one of those Boston Bruins versus the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yes, I had the same one.
And like the shag carpeting used to get caught in the little guys underneath because we would play it on the floor.
I remember it was such a big deal. It was such a great little toy.
Oh my God, hours upon hours. That's another game I wish we still had, but that was one of the greatest games that I think is underrated, Kev. Like that doesn't list stuff. And both of us have the same.
They do sell. Listen, there's so many companies now that sell the big one with a dome. And when people have their man caves or their female caves or whatever you want to call it, entertainment caves. Shed. Yeah. These are really fun items. I'm going to say electronic football. We're going to cover some of the handheld electronic games, but this was similar to the hockey game. But basically, it was a rectangle piece of green metal, and you would just turn it on, and it would vibrate. And the players, you would position your players on the green metal, and the opposition would do the same. You would basically just turn it on; it would just buzz, and the things would fall over, try to go downfield. It was just pretty simple and very lame, but very popular.
But we wanted it and never got it. But we were happy with the hockey game. We never got that football one.
Of course, Rock'em Sock'em Robots still around.
Yep. My stepson has that. I was at his house the other day and I saw in the corner with the games, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots, which I may have been guilty of. I may have been the one who made that purchase. I'm like, that's just a classic.
Don't break the ice. Ants in the pants.
Classics.
Yeah. And by the way, they still make all these, which is very cool. And there was a resurgence where they brought a lot, 20 years ago, they brought a lot of these games back. The difference is much cheaper plastic, much cheaper parts.
Yep.
But they did bring them back, and they still work. Kerplunk. Do you remember Kerplunk?
Not as well as Don't Break the Ice and Ants in the Pants.
Okay, Kerplunk was a really fun one. You would have, almost looks like today would be a mixer for a protein shake. It looks like a silver, like a bullet.
It does look like
that. And then you put in these plastic, let's say straws or tubes, and as you pull them out, above that in the clear portion of the silver bullet is marbles.
Oh,
and so you pull. So each person pulls a pin, and more marbles fall. And I think the one who pulls the last one loses. I think something like that.
I remember pickup sticks.
Pickup sticks. Remember those well. Barrel of monkeys.
Barrel of Monkeys, the Sea Monkey.
Sea Monkeys. I'm just, what a great scam. You just see the family of sea monkeys, and here I thought I was going to be Nero of Rome with my citizens, the sea monkeys, and I would have ruled over them in such a, I would have been such a benevolent leader with them. And then basically, you just put the thing in water, and it's like a bunch of specks of sand that just float.
I think it's actually a weird little phytoplankton or some sort of weird.
Brine
or shrimp or something. Yeah, weird. It was the predecessor to the ant farm, though.
The ant farm was amazing. Never had it, but again, really cool.
I got it, but my ants didn't dig.
What's that? Oh, they didn't dig?
I think I overpacked the sand.
Oh, so they couldn't get down. Yeah.
So they, and my mom said, and what, and I don't know, because you had to send away for a pack of ants.
The best is when you went to visit friends, because friends always had all the toys. That's what made it fun.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? Okay, here's another one. Time Bomb. Now, some of these people, you probably, if you saw them, you'd remember them. It basically was a big round ball that looked like what would be an old-fashioned bomb with a fuse in it. And you would, I think, you'd hear tick, 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 and then it would make a sound like it blew up.
So would not happen today.
Yeah.
No, is probably okay that we've removed from.
Yeah, we can probably let that one go. Moving right along.
Jump on the removal of that one, Kev.
Let's see. Chinese checkers, Trouble.
Loved Trouble. Still like Trouble.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
The sound of that popper is, you hear that and you're just brought back to 1974.
So I have my list. Right now, it's chat show, so we're just winging it.
We're just chatting.
But I could say to you, if we want to just go over some games, I'm just going to run some by you, Anne.
Yeah, love it.
So you have back at Monopoly, Oz, but that's been around forever. Scrabble, same thing.
Yep.
Risk, the game of life.
Yep.
Recently played the game of life. Very underwhelmed. And the ending almost doesn't make sense. But I guess maybe that's the whole point of life. I don't know.
You become a millionaire or... I remember you had the little...
No, you could have done everything right with the game. And then by the end of the game, you could just lose. Someone could take everything away. It's just...
Day of Reckoning was how it ended, right?
I don't know. I just remember playing it and being... saying to myself, this makes no sense.
You should turn your kids in at the end and they're worth like $10,000.
I forget what it was, but I said, I'm glad I didn't play this as a kid. And in the words of Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, for this reason, I'm out.
Although I will say I loved the spinner in the game of life.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, that'll bring me over to Mousetrap, because I still say Mousetrap as a game, like all the contraptions that get set up for Mousetrap, fun, and they... That's what brought you to the game.
Yeah. Otherwise, it took forever. My brother always wanted to play the entire game. Like, why? It's all really just about.
Yeah. You were like, me, cut to the chase, drop the bomb. Let's watch it.
Can we make this an 8-minute game instead of an hour and a half game?
Connect Four, Battleship, Yahtzee, Twister, Uno, Sorry, Othello, Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Yep.
Clue, Operation.
Operation still gives me nerves.
But good, still a good game. They still make that.
Why was he naked, though? Oh, because he was having an operation.
Yeah, he's having an operation, Dan. Come on.
Maybe a little towel or something.
Oh, I'm looking at... I remember this one from the commercial, Witch, by Milton Bradley.
One of my all-time faves that I had forgotten about.
Yeah.
And he went down in the little dungeon thing. That was such a
great... Right?
I need to bring that back.
Okay. And back to electronics. So many cool things with walkie-talkies.
Loved walkie-talkies.
Radio and broadcast system. There's an overseas wave radio. Oh, and let's not forget telescopes.
Oh, yeah.
Big telescopes.
Ask for that every year. I don't
remember
actually getting one.
No. Anatomical kits.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, so you would see the human body in plastic, like a... It would be a plastic doll. Oh. And then you'd see the anatomy of the human being inside.
Oh, no. You can
see that right there. No recollection of that?
None. Maybe because my mom was a nurse, or maybe because I murdered my baby alive when I was younger.
We're going to get to that. Yeah, models were a big thing, too. And they still sell them, but I don't know if there was big a deal.
Models. Cars and airplanes and stuff. Yeah.
That was a big deal. Mine always came out terrible. My brother Mike was amazing at them. He was so good.
Yeah, that surprises me that you weren't good at that, because that seems like terrible. It would be your skill set. That's definitely more of a guy toy back in that day.
yeah, here's all of our cars, the Aurora, so many cool things for the slot cars. And then what I would get was the Matchbox or the Hot Wheels, because they weren't electric and you just roll them.
Yeah.
That weird plastic. Wasn't. Yes.
Orange would, plastic
road. Yes. One, honey. And yes, while we're on the subject, tell me. Yes. Yeah, tell me about your trauma with Baby Alive.
Okay, so Baby Alive, I think, came out in the 1970s. And I wasn't a huge doll person, but once in a while, being a young girl, I would get a doll here or there from Santa or what have you. And Baby Alive, literally, it came with food packets that you mixed with water. Mm-hmm. And you got like a bottle and you could a feeding spoon and diapers. So you would mix the little packet of, I don't know, chemical goo or what have you. And then you would feed it and you basically stuck the spoon in its mouth and it hit like a little lever, which caused it to quote unquote chew. So it was chewing. And then a little bit later, it would mess its diaper with this weird plastic kind of slime stuff. I don't remember the exact backstory, and my mom, I think, is still scarred from it. So I haven't asked, but I wanted another toy. It might have been another doll. And I was like, oh, Mom, I want this. She's like, no, when you're finished playing with your Baby Alive, because it came with probably 20 packets.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I would think mom would be not an accessory, but there's some kind of crime she committed with just with that statement.
This is how my memory serves. I went in my closet. And I mixed all of the food for Baby Alive in one setting. It was probably 15 packs of food, we'll say. And again, this is probably going back to 1975, so memory might not serve 100%. And I essentially murdered Baby Alive because she stopped chewing and the food started coming back out through the mouth. And it couldn't poop anymore. And then it got like moldy and died.
Wow, bye Baby Alive.
Baby Alive is no longer alive.
You were a juvenile, so they couldn't try you. It's fine.
No, but I had a few moments in the living room to discuss how to treat your toys properly and respecting things. And you can imagine. And
oh, yes.
I saw it come back again. I think it was in the mid, early, the 2000. What do you call those? The zeros, the aughts. And it had a whole new series of things, and it would now cry. And you could feed it like a juice box. I'm like, God, I hope girls who don't want the doll aren't getting these. I almost wanted to put out a public service announcement about
it. Yeah, we don't want to kill any more Baby Alives. Okay, speaking of dolls, the G.I. Joes were huge. The Mego made many kinds of action figures for Planet of the Apes, for superheroes, as I recall.
Did you have all those, Kev?
Oh, I think my brother Mike might have had the G.I. Joe. Mother always went with the Polar Cola. So I think I had an Action Jackson. So there's a Billy Blastoff in here. I didn't even know that existed.
Never heard of him.
No, so I got the knockoffs, but I remember a very big deal. The other thing, rockets were big. Never had any of them, but rockets were big. Planes.
Yep.
That would be battery operated. You would attach it to a string and you would spin it up in the air. You could hold it by a string and fly it.
Yeah, those were so cool.
Once maybe, and then it would smash and be broken. The other thing is, do you remember, now they're calling this, I'm even trying to look at the name here. Okay, it's like a crystal art, but basically, and you would take these.
And make geodes?
No, so you would take crystals. They were like colored crystals. You would put them inside an outline of metal, and you put it in the oven, yep, and then when it came back, it looked like stained glass, right?
Yeah, I had that. I loved that.
I remember that. So my mom, because she was a teacher, I think she was so big on those kind of items.
And if you missed a little spot and then you had the whole thing was wrecked.
I remember, yeah, they used to be hanging in our windows.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty cool.
They are.
Pretty cool. Let's see.
Obviously, cool for a rainy afternoon.
Yeah, yes.
And exactly. So we're like the shrinky dink, not as satisfying because it wasn't the same size as when you made it. It was still cool in its own right. I'm not hating or shaming on shrinky dinks, but the stained glass, and then you could hang it in a spot that made you proud.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have one of these wigs and curls for little girls? You'd have the doll's head and you would basically.
Yeah, I know what that is. I think I got one of those. I was a little bit of a tomboy. I think I got that the same year I got my Nerf football. And yeah, that well, don't see any love.
We have easy bake ovens, obviously.
Love that, yeah.
And did you cook with it? Did you bake with it, Ann?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
It came with Jiffy, was the name of the brand, Jiffy Muffins and Jiffy Cake.
Jiffy Cake Mix, yeah.
Yeah, so it came with a little cake mix. And sure, I remember making my dad a little cake, a little chocolate cake for my father. Yeah, those were fun.
Oh, okay. Remember you asked me about dog-eared?
Yes. I'm so excited.
Well, somebody ripped out where infamous Mrs. Beasley was.
No.
Remember Mrs. Beasley?
Of course. She was, yeah, iconic. Everyone had a Mrs. Beasley.
Melissa Jones, who played Buffy on Family Affair with Brian Keith. At 17, she OD'd. But,
oh, no.
Yeah, it's not a good time.
That's not good.
And yes. We were also talking, and I don't want to forget this. Let's talk about maybe the peak and / the end of the ventriloquist doll.
Oh, my. Kev, you know that I had the Tessie Talk doll, which was the Tessie Talk ventriloquist doll. Was the ventriloquist doll for girls. A couple different versions. I had the one with the long red hair. And it came out in 1974, created by the Horseman Doll Company. Now, when we were originally starting to do this show, I was thinking of all the toys I had as a kid. And I went on not a huge deep dive, but I went a little bit. I was like, what was the whole deal with ventriloquists anyways? Interestingly, Kev, ventriloquism mm-hmm. actually originally a religious practice. The name comes from the Latin to speak from the stomach. The noises produced by the stomach were thought to be the voices of the unliving who took up residence in the stomach of the ventriloquist.
Okay.
And when I read that, I was like, holy smokes. I knew that these things were creepy, but never put two and two together. Back in the day, this is going way back, early 1700s, they thought that the ventriloquists were able to speak to the dead through the toys. And it wasn't later until 1754 in England where they started becoming more entertainment as opposed to the religious avenue when mm-hmm. they started going into carnivals and shows like that. So I thought it was interesting just because I was always creeped out by them. Of course, you see them in shows and movies, and even Seinfeld and Alf did them where the ventriloquist doll is creepy or comes to life. And so it was just interesting that they really have those connections.
It's funny that you mentioned because my dogs always freaked out when they would see the ventriloquist doll.
Interesting.
So I never went any deeper, but who knows? I remember it was Edgar Bergen who made it a big deal. Of course, Candace Bergen, the actress, her dad, but he had Charlie McCarthy and in the 50s was on TV doing his shtick, throwing his voice, as they call it, into Charlie McCarthy and would have these banters with him. There was also, there's a black version with Lester. And I think the comedian that ran Lester's still alive. And a shout out to late Gilbert Godfrey's podcast, which the way we honor Christmas specials, he honors old Hollywood and particularly old Hollywood TV. And I think there's an interview with Lester's, whatever you want to call him, owner or voice. But there was Howdy Doody, which was huge in the 50s. But this was a thing, and I will say my dad, he wasn't a good ventriloquist, but he was just a funny puppeteer. So he would
do
shows for kids. So he would take the doll and talk. And it was he used to get punished. He worked, my grandfather was a foreman.
Okay.
And my father was a union laborer. And my grandfather was the foreman. That was not his father. It was the father-in-law.
Yeah.
He was always super rough on my dad. And so my dad loved Christmas because he would take the doll and he would just mock my mother's entire family. And the kids would be in stitches laughing. And he would say, and Kevin, then I just used to pay the next day at work. I used to pay. I'd be wheelbarrowing. He's like, it was always worth it. I didn't care.
Now we know where you get your love of Christmas from, too.
Oh, my dad loved
it. The sarcasm, perhaps.
He loved the holiday.
I love that, Kev.
Okay. Let's see this. And
how nice that your dad was a puppeteer.
Well, he wasn't.
He
was just very funny.
That's awesome.
A great sense of humor. Okay. I've moved into the 1978 book, And I'm seeing now, so this is like the beginning of electronic toys. Mm. We have Pong, which starts everything, but we also had the Atari 2600 come out in the late 70s, which began video games, but there were a lot of handheld electronic games. Merlin. Do you remember Merlin?
I remember always wanting Merlin, Kev.
I did. My brother had a Merlin.
Oh, lucky.
He was. Simon, yep. Which still is around. And then there were the handheld football and handheld basketball games.
Yeah. Coleco, right?
I think it was Coleco. And I think, and the good news is they brought a lot of these back. A lot of times I will see them on coffee tables, even for offices I'm in, and you just kick it up and start playing with it. And you'd be surprised how fast you just go down that rabbit hole playing them.
I'm sure I still knew some of my plays on Coleco football, or at least head-to-head football.
And then, yeah, that's right, the head-to-head one.
I loved head-to-head football.
Obviously, we have the Candyland Chutes and Ladders, that we still have those, but
they're a little modified now, though. There's new characters and
really
a little easier. Yeah, I don't remember who the characters are. I played it not that long ago, probably 5 years ago now, but it was like a new take on the old classic. So I don't know why they made the changes.
I'm seeing lots of cowboys and Indians. You don't see that much anymore. No, that's out. Yeah, the $6 million man, he had his own action figure. And I'll tell you the one that I wanted and never got. I remember getting the...
You got
the Polo Cola version of that. It was called TTP Turbo Tower of Power. I remember. The reason you liked Evel Knievel is because you would get the doll, but then he would be on this motorcycle and you would this device that would rev up the motorcycle and then you'd hit a button and off like we go. And on the commercial, of course, it's doing jumps and it's flying in the air. And I got the whole, it's junk. So I remember getting the TTP Turbo Tower of Power, and instead of the cranking, you would pump, then drop, hit the button and bike would go, and I used it once and it drove, the bike went right into the wall and snapped, and that was it. That was the end of yes.
See what I told you? It's junk.
No, I think she got me the cheap one. If we'd gotten Evel Knievel. By the way, and that was one of the most popular selling toys at the time until Mr. Knievel decided to take an aluminum baseball bat to somebody in 1977 that made world news and had the whole collection canceled.
I always wondered what happened. I didn't know that story, Kev.
Sadly, we're making. I met the director of his upcoming. They're doing a biopic on him and
Snake Canyon.
But it's a life thing, and I don't think it's a very favorable portrait of Mr. Knievel.
Oh,
yeah, the director. Yeah,
we always held him in such high regard as a
kid.
Snake Canyon jump alone.
That was, again, just speaks that innocence.
Yeah.
Of that. I'll go through some other toys while we're here. Obviously, the Rubik's Cube.
Oh, gosh. I had the book and still couldn't figure it out.
I couldn't do it still to this day.
No. I know people who can do them. Evan, one of our other hosts here, roommates can do it in under a couple minutes or under a minute. He'd have to give you the stats on it, but it's ridiculous. It's frustrating.
The Star Wars action figures came out. I did, but I bought that myself. I remember buying my own X-Wing fighter, not realizing how much they'd all be worth now.
With your paper route money?
Yeah, I did have the paper route. Sundays we used to call Black Sunday because the big Sunday papers were
Sunday Globe.
6 inches, about 3 inches thick. And imagine as a kid hauling those. I don't know how we did it. And then even my bike, I remember having a bike. I put some baskets on, I rigged. Yeah, different time.
Yep.
Different time. Stretch Armstrong.
Another classic.
Right? Nerf. Nerf was big. Still is.
I think Spyro. Go ahead. Sorry. Spyro. Oh, loved Spirograph.
Etch a Sketch.
Long one. Etch a Sketch. Classic. On Spirograph, they had that weird, long, skinny one that you could never make into an actual Spirograph. They looked like Mandela's now.
There was also the one that was battery operated. It was like a little robot that would drive around. Yeah. And make it.
No, I don't remember that at all. See, we were the no-name brand.
It's a Polo Cola. Tinker Toys, Tinker Slinky, Weebles. Weebles were the offshoot of the Fisher-Price.
They were the Pepsi to the Coke, right?
Yes. They were probably more Royal Crown because they didn't get as big as the Fisher-Price little people. And then Fisher-Price had round little people, and then they had the square ones. You could have a McDonaldland set. You could have, there was a rescue center. And so I had, this was a cool toy. I had the rescue center, and then the next year I'd gotten the McDonald's. Oh, and lots of fun. But yeah, Weebles, I know you did a little dive on the Weebles. Do they make them anymore, Ian?
They do make a new version of the Weebles, but back in the day in 71, when they first came out, of course, they were a choking hazard. So they got discontinued. The OG 83. But the original ones were so great because they came as the little family with the dad and the mom, brother, sister, baby, and the dog. And they had all the play sets, just like the Fisher-Price family. Which was cool, though, I thought, because they had the slide.
Yeah.
Leave instead of the stairs, because, of course, Weebles couldn't walk downstairs.
Right.
Yeah, and they came back out in 2011, I think, because the parents all remembered the saying, Weebles wobbles, but they don't fall down.
Light Bright.
Light Bright, another great one. Another good rainy day one.
Activity.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the fact that they would come with the paper that you would put into the Light Bright that would give you the design. But then once you ran out of those papers, and this was before the days of printers, today you would just make a copy of them. So after that was done, and it's not like there was an Amazon where they would sell new sleeves or new pieces of paper. You would just go.
You had to wait until the next birthday or Christmas where you got the refills.
Wait, they did sell refills?
They did sell the refill.
I did not know that. Okay. Playmobil.
Playmobil. I don't remember the Playmobil.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah, that was a little later. Is that, what year is that? 78, you said?
The early one came out, I believe, in 79. Oh. So it's very late. You're right. He was late. Strawberry Shortcake dolls.
Yep. They even smelled like what they were supposed to be. Their butts smelled strawberry shortcake. Or
yeah, that's right.
Were. Yep. They made a resurgence.
They did. Yeah, I can see that. Tinker Toys.
Yep.
Remember those? That was a fun thing that would
still. Those were the ones that had the circle with the little spokes in it and the pipes and all.
Yes.
Yeah, those were cool.
I missed the elastic propeller planes. Those were big too.
They were.
It was just balsa wood, and you would have a propeller and you would.
A rubber,
rubber band. That's right. Yeah, elastic. And you would, you would spin the rubber band long enough and then let it go and it would fly.
Those were from, that's a great one to think of, Kev. I know those.
They're so good.
I feel like you got those a lot from the dentist. Did your dentist have like a treasure chest?
Oh my God, no. Because hey, people didn't have the money they have today and they didn't have access. And that generation was so much more frugal that the dentist was, I don't remember a lot of generosity from.
We had a little treasure chest at Dr. Belton's in Millis, Mass.
Thank you, Dr. Belton. He was very advanced. I'm going to give him, I'll give him that.
Shout out.
Shout out. And
yes.
If you've already left us that amazing 5-star review and you've gone on to comment at Christmas Specials We Love over on Instagram, which we definitely need to do better at updating that, you might just want to text us directly at 351-251-251-251-251. 251. I remember I even had a Christmas jingle way of singing it. I'll have to remember it. But anyway, we have received some texts. And do you have any texts to read us or that you would care to read us while I continue to just have fun with my book here?
The first thing I do every morning, it's fun. So I'll share a few that I got. Need to know how the four of you met. Please, Tails. Such really? An unlikely pairing. The four, we could digress on that, Kev. Yeah. The four of you seem like you've known each other forever. Thanks for the laughs and the enlightenment. Next, the only.
I can speak to that. And we'll speak to that. Ann and I went to college together many moons ago.
Yes.
And reconnected. Yes. And reconnected. And then Christian and I, we hosted a show together. He produced a show for me about, 7 or 8 years ago. We've stayed close ever since. And then Evan interned at AfterBuzz TV, my network, for a period of time. And we've all just stayed in touch.
Yeah. And it was fun that they gave us that shout out. I'll read one more.
Okay.
The only ones brave enough to cover Mad Monster Party, Great show. Laughed through the entire show. How can I become a crunchist?
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
Your laughs make me laugh. Best show on Apple.
Funny. So we just a callback to that joke. So Rick Goldschmidt, if you love the Rankin Bass specials like we do, Rick Goldschmidt is the widely, I was going to say self-proclaimed. It is self-proclaimed, but he's now the widely recognized number one leading expert in all things Rankin Bass. And I would say that is 1,000,000% accurate. He knows, he ended up talking to all of them that worked on those things before they passed, and has just done so much research. He lectures, he goes to different cons to speak, do Q&A. And we were talking about, why don't we just find something random ourselves that we could become an expert on? So we told Evan he could become an expert on Captain Crunch. Why couldn't he be the world's leading expert on Captain Crunch? And then that went to, yes, Evan became the chief crunchologist, and yeah, so on and so on, so forth. Anyway, yeah, it gets me thinking about what could any of us be the world leading expert at. You could almost anything.
You just pick it. Pick something as random as you can.
Because I want in
competition.
I want to be the world's leading expert on milk duds. I love milk duds, and I just feel like there may be a community out there that there needs to hear from me that I could lead.
Yeah, other milk dud enthusiasts.
Yeah,
you could come up with a recipe book.
Maybe, yeah, yes, because you're right. It would probably go well in a cookie or something.
Good dads who love milk duds.
Also, just the flavor. Okay, so look what I just found is there's your ventriloquist and
holy.
Yeah, there's the whole team. Look at them. See,
is Tessie Talk in there? I can't.
She's there. You don't see her. Let's see. We have Bozo. We have Tessie. There's Tessie. Tessie really looked dated for late 70s. She's very 40s.
Yeah.
With her hair, very early 50s.
Terrible.
Lester was the ventriloquist. His character was Willie. Okay. That's right. Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. There's a Willie Talk. And then there is.
Which is a great name.
Willie Simon. Talk. Mm-hmm. And then there's, and it is Lester. So, yeah, it's Lester.
Gotcha.
And I had Simon. I had Simon. And of course, actually, some of their faces are different. I'll give them credit. Because I'm looking at Willie and Simon and Charlie Bergen, and they look very similar. Typical lazy time. But the other ones look very cool. And do you remember Slime?
Of course, Kev. Loved and Slime.
Now that I think of it, just gross.
So especially gross
in theory, but then also when after it gets handled and it starts to get really dirty.
Hairs on it.
Oh, stop. Okay, I'm out. Why did I bring up Slime? So this, yeah, you'd have for the stocking stuffers, you have your Silly Putty, your Slime, you have, really, Mom and Dad, clothespins. Come on. Maybe the deck of cards.
Maybe the deck of cards, or maybe Uno.
Did they stock your?
What about Jax?
Jax, yeah, another forgotten game. Did they stuff your stocking in?
Oh, yeah. We always did the stocking. The toys in the stocking were never wrapped, but there were things like you just listed. Like this, I think every year pretty much was a Silly Putty. My brother once got coal, but that's, I don't know the backstory there, but he did get a piece of coal once, which if you know my family, it really should have come to me, but my brother's really dry. So Santa gave it to him. Yeah. I don't remember the cards were in there, wacky packs or baseball cards, things like that were always in there. Remember those games where you took the highlighter and you had the answers? I think it was like some sort of answer game would be in there. We never got food in our, I know a lot of people got food and stuff. We never got any of that.
But do they still stuff stockings today?
They do. Yep.
The kids still get,
they still get the stockings, probably wrapped and gifted certificates to Disney. And
the only thing we didn't really cover were cap guns and guns. I think probably in the 50s and 60s, they were even bigger, but you would have big machine guns, pistols. It was such a big part.
Yeah, it's funny. When we were starting to do the show, I talked to my husband, who's actually a boomer, and all he ever wanted was guns. All he ever got was guns. He grew up rural Wisconsin. He had a gun rack above his head, and that's all he ever got. So it was such, I'm like, yeah, you can't even.
Just a different world.
Just a different world. And my mom was anti-gun. We had water guns, but we would get caps, but we would just roll caps and with the rock.
And you just sit there for hours and
bang it.
Or sometimes you skim it, it would just flare.
Yes.
But you're right, the water gun was huge.
Huge.
Water guns were fun. They still are.
Yeah.
Annoying, but fun. Now the water gun's been replaced by the Super Soaker.
Yeah, which is better if you're on offense, but if you get surprised by a super soaker, it's not always that good of a time.
I remember even down the vineyard, there were like this one group of older people, old enough to know better, in their 20s. And then we have supers and just tourists who would just drive by with the windows open. They'd just be standing on the corner and shoot them with super. I'm like, and this is fun.
That sounds like something we would have been doing back in the day. It's-
yeah, but this was just these people in their 20s. That was just weird. Anyway, all right, listen, and hopefully people from this time period enjoyed our little trip down memory lane.
I really enjoyed our trip down memory lane, Kev.
There'll be more to come. We'll be dropping some more shows this week, some throwback shows from last season, and I'll be doing some new ones as well. But until then, remember that bumbles do bounce.
Bumbles do bounce, Kev.
I think is that where we are. We have to come up with some outro. But until then, we'll be back with the whole gang. We'll be covering specials. And listen, this is it's mid-November. It's past mid-November. Trees need to be up. Let's go, people. Let's get it going.
Get
and keep us informed.